I hope you're ready, because once this train is moving, you can't stop it unless you hit pause or your listening device crashes. You're about to start listening to the Fool Court Press podcast. That's F-O-O-L, Fool. We don't mess up your name, so say ours right.
A terrible name, and I'm glad they're dead.
Sandoria McConnell.
Mussolini or something.
Folks Court Press.
Jamarcus Russell Wilson. You are going to hear the hard-hitting, well-researched basketball analysis.
Kawhi Leonard has a size 14 shoe, so...
And somebody else I can't remember. It's from four strangers with no chemistry.
It was me!
I am the host, Lufa, who prides himself on precise NBA opinion.
Yeah, it's just a big shire. It's the land of Luke Kennard's.
Well, you know how, like, the Florida Panthers are, like, in Sunrise, Florida? It's, like, not, like, a real place.
I am joined by NBA draft specialist and Tuchel apologist, Baldy.
All of Florida's just made up.
As well as Sandoria.
A real dick that guy is.
Whose consistent fire takes.
No, like, Luca, I think he's a real piece of shit. Luca's the owner of the Suns. I think he'd be a better owner.
Will scorch every part of your franchise.
Trade this motherfucker. Sarver's a real piece of shit. What a stupid name. Well, we got a lake up here. We're the Lakers.
Still a better name than the Thunder.
A real dick that guy is. I hate you.
Finally, we have our Australian basketball enthusiast, Duke.
Brooklyn Nets have three players who were born in Australia.
So pay attention. This may be free, but it's important.
What does it mean?
Jesus fucking Christ, just shoot me.
Everything will be fine.
And we're back and better than ever. We're listening to the Fool Court Press podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. I'm joined here by Sandy. Duke is playing Dorothy, and Baldy's playing sick. So they will not be joining us today. For our very special episode, our annual Foolies. Sandy, what are the Foolies?
Can it really be annual if it's the first time it's happened and we haven't even done a pod for a year?
Yeah. It can be an annual awards ceremony. We're making it annual. We're making it a tradition. This is how traditions are formed. They don't just start off as traditions. They have to be birthed from something. And today, we are giving birth to the Foolies.
Show that to the colonists.
Spread your legs and we're crowning. It's a boy.
I'm not touching that one.
That's what I said. Still
the Foolies are our awards celebrating all of our favorite people and all of our favorite moments of the year.
Yeah. So we got six categories of the Foolies. So this is going to be a little bit of a self-indulgent episode. Oh, looks like Duke has landed from the tornado and he is going to be joining some in shortly. So stay tuned for that. But we have six different categories we're going to go through. We have the biggest mistakes made on the pod, the funniest moments, worst predictions, best innovations made by a fool on the podcast, Fool of the Year, and Messy Bitch Awards.
Which one are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, man. The Fool of the Year, number one in the Fool of the Year, is probably one of the funniest moments that we had on this. The Messy Bitch Awards is also another great one. We had a really stacked one episode of Messy Bitch Award nominees, and it is frequently featured in this highlight reel, and it's pretty fun. Sandy. Just off the cuff, what was your favorite pod moment from the season?
My favorite pod moment?
Yeah.
Probably the Paranorman review, the very first one.
Duke, you've decided to join us partway through. What's your favorite pod moment?
Oh God, so many to choose from. The Paranorman.
That's pretty much it. The Paranorman sequel.
Now there was some good ones. The load management was quite funny. Baldy's NBA observations. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. If I was to say my favorite moment of the pod was getting a chance to do a podcast with Ryan Nanny of the. Shut Down Fullcast podcast. That was pretty cool. We'd only been doing this for like a month, and we already we already had somebody who was a personal inspiration of myself for the podcast on, and we were able to shoot the shit with him, and that was pretty fun.
Very gracious with his time.
Yes. One of our funniest moments of the year. Two of our funniest moments of the year. Birthed in that episode.
Yeah, for sure. And then the other thing is he stopped responding to my emails after that too, so I'm sure we made a memory that lasted forever.
My friend, you got Hollywooded.
It's called making an impression.
All right. You can stop being a star fucker.
Never. Never. Not until I fuck them all. we'll start this. We'll start off the Foolies episode with a big hitter right off the bat. We're gonna go with the Messy Bitch Award winner of the year. So this is gonna start off with our top five messiest bitches of the year.
Big category.
It is a big category.
Very competitive.
Yeah. Off the top of your head, what do you think is what's one that you hope to hear?
Well, we know there's gonna be some. Repeat offenders, let's say.
I don't want to risk spoiling anything.
Yeah, let's just hear them.
All right. The Foolie for the messiest bitch of the year. Number 5. Rick Bucher has thoughts on Durant and marriage.
I want to talk about Rick Bucher and what he said about Durant. That is so he said Durant needs a wife. And I need to know the context.
Let me see if I can find the tweet real quick.
It was a pretty funny video.
What is the... I don't understand.
It was about him being sensitive, and basically I think the idea was that a wife would harp on him enough that he would no longer have the energy.
And do me a favor, by the way, when you find the clip. What's the name of the show that he did it on?
Oh God! Let's see if I can find this clip.
He's not on.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's the Nick Wright show. I'm not sure what. I think it's First Things First or something like that.
I think it's.
FS1 now.
It was tweeted out by Clutch Points. It's Speak.
Yep. That's Speak. That's Fox Sports. Yep. That's the Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
One.
So it looks. So he said, Kevin Durant needs to get married. Kevin Durant needs a relationship that teaches him what you have to respond to and what you have to let go.
Rick, maybe you should have stopped speaking.
Yeah.
Nice little opening to that, women's women's.
You need to
month.
Get laid, Kevin.
March.
I know that when I got married, my jumper was just.
It wasn't the only thing.
I like the idea. He's just like, yeah, my wife. She'll nag the crap out of me, and it's really taught me to just let things go. Water off a duck's back. I wouldn't have learned that if I didn't get married.
That's
though,
a duck,
so.
Man.
Yeah. lots of advantages to that ring.
Number 4. Paul Pierce doesn't know if he is live or alive.
Let's talk Paul Pierce, man.
Paul Pierce it is. Is there anything you want to mention about Paul Pierce at all?
He's a very funny drunk.
Are we sure it was drunk?
I think it might have been a mix.
He was, as they say, lit.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I believe that's how KG described him as well. So Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, they have a podcast, a video podcast, and they decided to do a live watch along to Game 3 of the NBA playoffs. Paul Pierce, I guess maybe forgot that they were doing a live watch along and just decided to show up to see KG and hang out. And he brought his girlfriend along. And Sandy, do you have anything you want to say about Paul Pierce's girlfriend?
Well, so
no, you go on.
Yeah,
show
apparently.
Your
so as he goes on to say to everyone on the live stream, which apparently he didn't know was a live stream or how a live stream works, that it was just a his girlfriend for the night,
five times.
That he knows a website where you can go and I don't know if he used the word rent a girlfriend for the night, but you get what I'm saying. And he is bogarting that website and not sharing it with anybody.
Five times.
I bet Zion.
So you rent?
I bet he's got the link.
I mean, judging by the Instagram messages and Snapchat messages I'm seeing from Zion being posted and shared, it doesn't look like he's using that website. So yeah, no, that is 100% correct. You know, Paul Pierce rented his girlfriend. We know this because he told everybody, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, five times. Five times. He was like LeBron James. He was LeBron James announcing how many championships he was going to win in Miami. That was not what he was doing.
Not two. Not three.
And then he was following up by like, he's following it up by arguing with Kevin Garnett, who spent the entire time just trying to be his friend, being like, hey man, we're live right now, you want to just keep it a little bit cool, we're watching the game, why don't you talk about your game, talk about the game. And Paul Pierce was insistent that they weren't live and that he was somehow getting punked or something. Like, I don't know what was happening there. Like, it was like they had all these cameras there just to make him think it was going live, until he saw on his phone everybody was tweeting about the nonsense that he was spouting on this live stream.
You know what this tells me? Paul Pierce is very easy to fuck with. He was just under the impression that he's getting pranked. Yeah.
he gets pranked so frequently. His assumption is that he just doesn't questions everything that he experiences moving forward. He's like, I don't even believe in gravity anymore. I just assume that you guys put magnets in my boots. Number three, Skip Bayless is concerned with Jaws affiliations. And late entry, Skip Bayless today said that or started assuming that Ja Morant is a Crip. So, who you want to talk about first?
That's not on the rundown. That's not on my copy. So, oh my god. Hey, he might have snuck in at the end.
So
this guy, he wants to be a two-time winner.
So Duke, who do you want to start off with?
How do we not start with
fuck?
That?
He might be a Crip.
Yeah, no, I sent the video into the rundown earlier today. I thought you guys would have had a chance to listen to it. But yeah, no, so Skip Bayless wants to know if Ja Morant is in the Crip gang, a Crip gang member. He says, "What does that mean? Does that mean he wants to be associated with the Crips, or did he get initiated by the Crips, or does he have dreams of being with
LeBron
the Crips?"
No, LeBron has dreams.
This related to Ja Morant posting an Instagram video of him waving a gun around. Now, it is important to note that Skip Bayless did recently tweet about his amazing visit that he had with one Little Wayne, who consistently sings about being a blood. So maybe Skip's worried about being involved in some form of rivalry, as he's already affiliated or something along those lines.
Oh my god.
Now, yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of dog whistle in that. But yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on Skip on Fox's Undisputed?
Sweet Jesus.
So a nationally syndicated television show accusing Ja Morant of being a gang member because he had a pistol. And presumably also because he was black. I would assume that those are the two things that are aligned. Because, I mean, if it was Gordon Hayward waving a pistol around and smiling, I assume that he wouldn't think that he was a Crip. But because it was Ja Morant.
Well, hold on. I actually kind of want to see that. I mean, in my mind's eye, that's a beautiful one.
I would assume that was racist, too.
I'm caught off guard by this.
This is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's high comedy.
Number two, Stephen A. has some helpful advice for Durant. There was that, and then there was Stephen A. Smith on First Take last week talking with Kendrick Perkins. saying that, you know, with Kevin Durant constantly being like, so Kevin Durant was responding to Shaq and Charles, saying he doesn't care that what they have to say. Like, you know, he could, you know, he could win a championship. He'd have to win a championship with Scoot Henderson before they'd actually give him any credit. So he doesn't care what credit they're giving them. And then Stephen A. Then went on with Kendrick Perkins to say, you know, he's always out there shooting the messenger, but if it's coming from everybody else, you know, you have to think to yourself, should I shoot the messenger or should I shoot myself, figuratively? Figuratively doing a lot of work there, but basically insinuating that maybe, you know, maybe Kevin Durant, instead of, you know, addressing these comments, should just go ahead and kill himself, figuratively.
Man, these are some.
Can I?
These are some terrible takes.
This is a. This might be the toughest batch to choose from yet. This is there was some shit said this week.
Number one, Shannon Sharp tries to fight the Grizzlies, except for Steven Adams. To recap for everybody, Shannon Sharp decided he wanted to fight the Memphis Grizzlies until Steven Adams showed up, and
not
then he
that
decided
one.
He wanted to fight the Memphis Grizzlies' parents.
Not that one. The other one. Oh, their daddy.
He was very keen on letting Dylan Brooks know that he couldn't guard LeBron, even though LeBron had his worst shooting night of the last like month while playing Dylan Brooks. And he then was escorted off of the floor, like anybody who savagely runs the floor and tries to fight an entire team should be. But because it's LA, he was later brought back and able to sit on his courtside seats. Duke, you have a comment?
Oh, the most hilarious part is Dylan Brooks. This whole thing, calling him a pedestrian.
So yeah. The photo of Shannon Sharp on the floor looking incredulous, you know, it's already been memed to death and back, but I've seen a meme. It's like, this is gonna be the coldest album of all of the year. it's the picture with the parental advisory, and I'm wondering, do any of you guys have any ideas what that album would be called? Like any
sweating it in sweater vests? I don't know.
It's a good one. We're off to a good start. We're off to the race. He ain't sweating.
Like, what was he wearing?
I heard somebody else talking about this today. This is a cardigan.
A cardigan
that goes for, I think the quote I heard was 6,000? It's a $3,100 cardigan.
Jeez.
At retail, but now other
but
places.
What about
are
the
so
children?
Shannon Sharp.
What about the children trying to watch Kyrie Irving play every game?
What if load management keeps Shannon Sharp from wearing his $3,100 cardigan to see his favorite?
Shannon.
What if Dylan?
Sharp.
Yeah. What if Dylan Brooks was resting that game? Huh?
That's right.
What did
That's
you think? Right. We would have lost our opportunity to admire Shannon Sharp's cardigan.
The hard man in the cardigan.
my favorite part of this story is, so Shannon Sharp went on his show and issued an apology. And in the apology, he said, it doesn't matter what Dylan Brooks said or how many times he said it. And I'm just like, well, that's one way to make it about that, isn't it?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for letting you bring the worst out of me. I am so sorry that you did that to me.
I got to tell you, him and his co-host together has got to be the undisputed worst show on TV.
Oh, man. And usually, Shannon has the advantage of being the comparatively sane one and the comparatively, like... comparative is doing a lot of
work lifting.
Here.
It hit the gym.
I understand that. But that's like, to me, that's half the reason why you do a show with Skip Bayless, is so people can be like, well, at least he's not Skip.
So former fool of the week there. Please respect his title.
No, Skip Bayless was not a fool of the week. He was a Messy Betcher winner.
He's both in my heart, bro.
But yeah, no, my favorite part about the, like you mentioned, Duke, with regards to Shannon Sharpe, was Dylan Brooks calling him a blogger and a blogger and a pedestrian. Right, right. And as Ryan knows, there's nothing worse in this world to be known as than a blogger.
I'm a Hall of Famer.
Especially in 2023 to be called a blogger. Good Lord.
But I love the fact that all of these Hall of Fame football players, like, you put some respect on his name. He is a Hall of Fame football player. It's like, no, he was a fucking clown that day. Like, I mean, like, all of his credentials are gone when he decided he wanted to go fight an entire basketball team in the middle of a basketball
also,
game.
Also, who, like, if it's not a football game, you don't have, like, if somebody shows up and is like, excuse me, I am an Academy Award winning, it's like, I don't care. We're not at the movies right now. Shut up. Exactly.
We need to cut.
You're nothing but a blogger to me, buddy.
We need to cut the crap here for 1 second. If someone calls you a blogger, what they're really doing is just calling you old.
What are your thoughts on that, Ryan? Any blogger?
I am blogger and old, so like the math all fucking checks out here, unfortunately. But if to the extent that somebody is comparing Shannon Sharpe to me, yeah, he should be offended. I'd be mad too.
Oh no.
What was his end goal here? What was going to happen if Shannon Sharpe got
headlines?
Well, what Shannon Sharpe was really hoping for was that people would actually tune into Undisputed on Monday. And I think he might have won.
That's what
we
call promotion.
Okay.
And he did his job well.
He saw the numbers that they did after he had his spat with Skip over the fact Skip decided to say those things. Yeah. So he's like, yeah, this is the next best step.
So
LeBron,
I gotta.
LeBron, another potential nominee to make this messier, went out and he said, "I've got Shannon's back no matter what happens, whatever that's about." I guess it's okay with LeBron, king of kicking people out of the stands for saying things to players, is all of a sudden a fan of fans just running the court trying to fight people.
I
read that as anti-Skip.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I was 100% anti-Skip Bayless.
Like I have Shannon's back because he is the one who fights.
Everybody hates Skip Bayless. KD is on record tweeted, "I just don't like you today." So here's my question here, and it's an important question to ask. We've seen
who would like Skip Bayless. No, oh, sorry, that wasn't your question.
And the answer is nobody. We've seen Skip Bayless after a player almost dies, go on record and say, "But what about the game, you guys?" Shannon Sharpe tried to fight a professional basketball team, except for Steven Adams. I'm just wondering how they're going to up the ante. Like, what's Skip going to have to do to top this? Is he going to streak the Super Bowl? What can he do?
I actually hope that he does that. He's, we have to see if everything is as tight as his upper body.
We don't have to see that. We definitely don't have to see that.
He's going
to
streak the Super Bowl with the exception of those shoes. He's going to be wearing them shoes. He doesn't lose in those shoes.
I think I'm afraid the answer is Dak Prescott hostage video at this point, frankly.
Which is taking him.
Oh my god. If you look at his Twitter after the Cowboys lost the game, he posted just like a 30-second video of him tearing up. It's got to be the most pathetic, funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. He doesn't say a word.
Such a strange dude.
I can't stand that.
Again, this is why you go on TV with him, because you look awesome by comparison. It's a great strategy.
So, Ryan, when we gave him the Messy Bitch Award 2 weeks ago, there was a conversation that came up, and I want to know what your thoughts are. Do you think Skip is still a natural ginger?
There's, oh boy.
He averaged 1.4 points a game when he played ball.
All right, that was the Messy Bitch Award winners. Any thoughts, guys, on anything that we heard there?
Star studded, huh?
Yeah.
Man, glad I wore my tux tonight.
Oh man, that last one. That last one, I ended up cutting an additional 10 minutes off of it because it just went on. It went on and on.
About to, Steven Adams, to us if talking I remember
about,
correctly.
Yeah, like we talked about the Skip's pubic hair. We moved on to Steven Adams and the time that he like picked up a 300-pound player and said, "Nope, not today." And walked him off the court while he was trying to push Ja Morant.
Look, God. In Shannon Sharpe's defense, I wouldn't fuck with Steven Adams either. That's exactly why. But.
Ryan Nanny had a great New Zealand accent too when he was pulling that one off. So it's a shame that we had to make the edits. Only 17 minutes worth of Messy Bitch Award. We couldn't go 27. That would have been too indulgent.
Go back and check the full episode.
Yeah, go back and check the full episode. It's episode, which one is the number on that one? The
one with Ryan Nanny.
It was called The Maskiverse.
Oh, right.
For reasons that will be revealed later. And it was published on January 24th.
The fucking Maskiverse.
Oh, what are we doing? I still don't know. Still don't know.
So another thing that needs to be pointed out is the episode where Stephen A. suggests that Kevin Durant should probably kill himself, figuratively, and then Rick Bucher advised that Kevin Durant should get married because his wife's a bitch, and then the episode where Skip thinks that Ja is a Crip, that is in the same episode. As well, in that episode, there is another messy bitch that I completely forgot about until I was listening to it, because I'm like, man, this one could have also made the list, was when Kendrick Perkins decried that Kyrie Irving had the unmitigated gall to ask for a trade on MJ Day.
Oh, God.
You're trying to make MJ Day about you?
Not on MJ. Not on MJ Day, guys.
Not MJ Day?
Oh man.
That was probably
what a time.
That was probably Kyrie's lowest moment, right? Like that was the worst thing he did all year.
Yeah. Nothing worse than that.
Kyrie at all the rest of the way. Not a single thing will be coming up about him.
Yeah, you know, and I'm so surprised after listening back to that, Ryan and Andy decided never to talk to us again. I mean, you did call him an old blogger. And I think also I did insinuate that he was part of a liberal media cabal. Quite verbally.
That's one of your heroes. Yeah. You should never meet him.
We insinuated. I think we outright said it.
Yeah, I think I did say that. Yes.
Yeah. No.
Trying to make load management an issue.
Apologies to Ryan Nanny.
Yeah, apologies to Ryan Nanny. I'll make sure to tag him in this in case he hasn't blocked us yet.
I'd also like to apologize to Shannon Sharpe.
I don't. He made that mess himself. But hey, freedom tastes good. He's going to make that Pat McAfee money, so good for him. He's beating us all.
What's the next category?
Well, I was thinking, you know, I really wanted to celebrate, you know, part of the Fool Court Press podcast is we really like to celebrate the ingenuity of fools. And while we have the Fool of the Year category, which I think we should save for last.
That's our best picture.
I would like to celebrate the ingenuity of the fools that exist on this podcast and celebrate the best innovations that we created for basketball over the season. Any thoughts, guys, that you want to share before we dive right in?
God, we fixed so many things.
Yeah, I don't know, but if you've been on Twitter and you know I love my Twitter memes, have you seen the picture of the horse? It's like... like a perfect specimen up until it gets to the head. It's like a child's drawing. The Duke says best picture. Any picture that we produce is going to look like that horse.
I can't
Sandy explains a meme.
I can't add anything else. Sandy, that's perfect.
Sandy explains a meme. It's back and better than ever. Just like the Fool Court Press podcast. All right, everybody. Enjoy best innovations. The Foolie for the best innovation invented by a podcast fool. Number 5. Duke reveals his plan to improve overtime during the regular season.
I got an idea. OT, both teams pick their best player, maybe their best two or three players, and they play a game of 21.
Okay, Big Three.
What? They do that in Big Three?
No, this is just three guys. This is just Big Three. Just target score, Big Three. Like, I mean,
it's 21, man. It's totally different. Not the same thing.
The target score is 21.
No, man.
See, I don't think 21. I gotta be honest. Like what you're discussing there. I don't know if it was a serious suggestion or not. I'm going to 100%. Pretend it's a serious. I'm going to pretend it's 100% serious at Absolutely. This point in time. I believe you're. I believe you're as sober as a priest at the moment.
So here's an idea. Hear me out.
Yeah.
So in OT, they play regular basketball, but they play it riding on donkeys.
A real smart idea now, from I'm a take real jackass.
Donkey basketball.
I don't know if you're being. I don't know if you're joking around or if you're being serious. I'm not, so I'm going to choose to take you seriously right now.
I would never joke about this.
That is a dumb idea, and you're a dumb person for suggesting it.
Donkey basketball.
Number four, the fools uncover the Maskiverse.
Hello, Mr. Nanny.
Hi, I have no idea what I'm stumbling into. I'm excited to figure out.
We're talking about what's going on. The classic film Son of the Mask.
I haven't seen this movie because
I would have.
I don't even think I need to finish that sentence. But
I would advise against very strongly.
What is the distance time-wise between The Mask and Son of the Mask? Not in the Maskiverse, but in our time.
I can find out real quick.
It's got to be at least 15
The Mask
years,
is right? 1994.
Okay.
Son of the Mask is 2011 years.
That's...
And in Mask time, it's like...
That's a lifetime.
Yes, right.
Yeah, it's like, lifetime. It was like three generations after Jim Carrey.
It's been 87 years.
And after you finish watching that movie, you feel like you've lived it.
How did Son of the Mask arise as a topic
tonight? Brave Little Toaster.
We were... Okay. Yeah, we were shooting the shit about horrible children's movies. Brave Little Toaster, Secret of Nim, and then the third one was Son of the Mask.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It sounds silly when you say it like that.
Number three, Lufa reveals he doesn't care if the defender lives or dies so long as the dunk is good. All right, so we're gonna move on to the last thing that we wanted to talk about here in the topics DeJounte. Aaron Gordon's dunk. Did everybody see the dunk he laid on Landry Shamet? Now, I want to make full disclosure. I do a lot of things intentionally to troll Sandy, and the fact that this happened against the Phoenix Suns is completely irrelevant. This dunk was a mind-blowingly good dunk. So this would have been mentioned regardless. Now, there was some Twitter buzz about how this is the most dangerous thing that a person can do on the court, and that he should not only have been been given the foul for charging, but he should have been suspended as well. So, Sandy, I wanted to hear what your thoughts were on that dunk.
Unfortunately, I am familiar with the dunk. I wish I wasn't, but unfortunately, I am. That's a charge.
I think there was some shuffling of the feet, clearly, that you could see. So it was definitely a block. But even if it's not, like, why? What are we doing? Like, what are we, like, are we trying to entertain people, or are we trying to make sure everything's officiated to the letter of the law? Because, let me tell you, I was significantly more entertained by Aaron Gordon getting 2 points and sent to the line on that play than I would have been if they called a foul. And I'm getting a little bit tired of these golf snitches out there. You know, like I know Baldy's like right up there. He wants all the golf snitching to go on, and he wants John Morant to be called for every carry and travel he can possibly get nailed with.
This is probably my most favorite thing that's happened on Twitter.
But I want to see the A-Rams. I want to see the Jawbreakers.
Look, it's a charge. And it's a charge because, God damn it, protect the Suns. Enough screwing them. It's always screw the Suns. Why? Screw you. These damn referees.
I'm beginning to think you may have been a biased juror in this one. Baldy, what are your thoughts? Did you watch the dunk?
I saw highlights of a dunk that I think is the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know. Looked fun. Go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Go nuts.
Here we go.
This from the guy.
Let that be a message to the NBA. Let that be a message to the NBA. Let all of your players get steamrolled. So long as it ends in a spectacular dunk. Now, let me put this out on the record right now. If Aaron Gordon rimmed that out, he needed to be suspended.
No doubt, he needs to be suspended. I agree with you.
Yeah, that was unnecessary violence. We need to get that out of the game. But because he finished and he finished with authority, that's 2 points and a third one at the line.
That's what they call hoop plus the harm.
Extra harm in that situation. So I think that we've established a consistency here at the very least. If you make the dunk, it counts. If you miss the dunk, you're suspended. And I think that incentivizes everybody. It makes sure that the person's like, if I'm going to have to kill this person, I need to make sure they'll have the momentum to finish the job.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Yeah. If you go to posterize somebody and you fail to posterize them, you should be ridiculed and shamed.
Exactly. And you should be suspended. And they should dock your pay.
Yes.
And what else? Take your child away?
Hey, let's not get crazy here.
On a temporary basis. Number two, Duke proposes a bobble figure statue for a Dikembe Mutombo Defensive Player of the Year award.
Finger wag. You can even have a bobblehead.
Yeah, like with it actually wagging.
No, I don't think that's a good idea. Like that's a terrible awesome. Idea.
That is like, objectively here, a great idea.
You're welcome.
Here's your official NBA achievement award. Oh, by the way, it's a bobble finger.
And it rules.
Hey, wait, yeah. Will
No, you know what they should do? They should have like one of those like foam fingers get out of their stands.
On the night that's when they give the trophy to the winner, it's bobble finger trophy night for all the first 500 fans that attended. You get a free miniature bobble
merchandising.
Finger.
Yeah, no, it's the golden finger. Like that's what you get. You get the giant finger glove, and it's encased in gold.
May as well be a golden turd.
Number one, Houston 71 point exchange. I think that instead of like doing a midseason tournament, we should just have all of our top scorers just run against Houston. I don't know if it should count as 70. I think a Houston 71 should be like it should be a regular 50 point game, to be honest.
The old Houston 71.
Yeah. You know, it's conversion. We gotta get the conversion rates in here. Right now, the Houston 71 market is it's a little fat. So I don't know. You know, Dame obviously amazing player. Portland is a terrible team. Dame's not going to make the playoffs. And it was a really high scoring night. So good for him, I guess. Wow, some really great memories there. I feel like we got a little bit robbed there. I think that the Dikembe Mutombo finger got robbed.
Oh, I mean, it was robbed when I suggested it, and all you shot it down. Some great ideas in that. Especially the ones I came up with.
Donkey basketball.
I think that
and?
Aaron Gordon's dunk should have won. Yeah. Just because the Suns were involved in it, like...
The only thing the Suns can win is the victim victim of a dunk.
That's that right.
Ends up creating innovation of the year.
That's right.
Wow. Bonus content.
Give him the trophy.
The finger.
I got a finger for you.
Duke, okay, by the way, okay. you should check out Twitter. I tagged you in something. I think you'd like it.
I'll get to it.
Maybe. All right. So yeah, that's the best innovation. As you can tell, we're a very creative bunch. We are just the simple benchmark of what fooldom is. And as you listen further towards some of these highlights of their season, you're gonna hear more. No, they're all highlights.
to be determined.
When we're the fools, everything's a highlight.
Well, I happen to know what the next category is. So.
Oh, yeah? What's the next category that you'd like us to do, Duke?
I believe the next category on my list was Worst Mistake of the Year.
Worst Mistake of the Year. Well, what a great lead-in. Does anybody here have a mistake that they remember fondly?
Sometimes just signing on, it just feels like a mistake.
waking up this morning is my top mistake.
I don't feel like it's possible to look back at a mistake finally. Usually when you make a mistake, you're not happy about it.
Yeah, it's making lemonade out of lemons, my friend.
Yep. How about you squeeze a lemon in your eye?
That's just very not nice. Why does that happen?
This is an award show. It's a celebration.
we're just sitting here having a good time, and Sandy's just being a real meanie about
it. Yeah, down in the dump.
I thought that was on brand for me.
Real damaged chicken.
All right.
Here's our mistakes of the year. The Foolie 4 podcast's biggest mistakes. Number 5. Oh dear Lord, Sandy.
I think the Cavs. Cavs could be fourth watching.
He gave us an insightful answer. What is this character?
I
expected you to say like the Kings.
Well, the Cavs are going to be obviously his pick because the Cavs have his NBA crush on them now.
Robin Lopez.
Who's his NBA crush?
Donovan Ole.
So now you're mixing up Baldy and Duke.
Who is?
Duke's NBA crush is Donovan Ole.
Yeah.
Am I mixing up Baldy and Duke?
You are.
I think so, yeah.
Motherfucker, no!
Yes.
Number 4, Russell Westbrook.
Since the Westbrook trade.
Westbrook.
He's at Westbrook trade. He's averaging.
And we did a whole segment where it was just Duke baby talk.
since the Westbrook trade, he's averaging 15 points, 4 assists, and 2.8 rebounds.
Wow!
And shooting 33% from three. 58% from the floor.
There's like an odd, like Adam Sandler kind of like tinge to that. Number 3. Oh dear Lord, Sandy again.
130 to 108, and they did that without LaMelo. They did it without Miles Bridges, who played for the Pelicans. I don't think I can name two of their starters. I think they got a Plumlee somewhere.
Well, it's weird that you mentioned LaMelo and Miles Bridges. I think you might think that they're the Hornets? Or was that a joke that I just didn't understand?
Yeah, that's the Pelicans.
The Pelicans have Zion, they have Brandon Ingram, they have Valanciunas. They have a bunch of players there.
You know what? We dragged on a little too far. Let's just cut that. Let's just cut this. Cut the last 5 minutes.
Welcome to the new segment. What the hell are we doing? What are we doing here?
I was just a little confused. All right.
Can I go 1 week without embarrassing?
Well, I guess that's up to you.
Full sport press.
Number 2. Jesus Christ, kill Lufa now. what will be interesting is Jamarcus Russell and Gobert's chemistry. Because the thing is with Gobert, you have to give him the lobs. If you're not going to keep him involved in the offense,
you have Jamarcus to. Russell, Raiders legend in the building.
Oh, sorry. What is his name?
D'Angelo?
D'Angelo Russell.
The snitch.
The prognosis for the Lakers gets a lot better after they get past this Russell Wilson contract. They're going to have a lot more draft picks and stuff. Like, this season's not
noted
the season.
Denver Bronco, Russell Wilson.
Oh, Russell Westbrook. Oh, my God.
Hey, I make that mistake all the time. Don't
Jesus fucking Christ. Just shoot me, please.
There's only like two sports Russells.
Number one, what's a damaged chicken? Memphis obviously was kind of a damaged chicken by the time they got to the playoffs, but they were always terrifying. But Duke, what were you saying?
Speaking of Canada, is damaged chicken, is that a Canadian saying?
I don't know. I don't know what I did there. I meant to say damaged goods. And I don't know. Close. Chicken came out. It came out. I just ran with it. I moved on very quickly. I hope nobody heard it. But unfortunately,
I wasn't gonna let that go.
Ah, yes, the memories. Did anybody else wish that I had just been killed then by Jesus Christ and we just forgone this entire podcast for the last 4 months?
It's interesting. Did Baldy make those categories? Because he suspiciously didn't have a single mistake.
He's error-free. He's batting 100. Or his mistakes just aren't funny. That's the part.
Someone should look into that.
Usually. He makes a mistake, it's just like a random noise like appearing from his corner of the screen.
He mistakenly contributes basketball sacks.
he mistakenly hits mute.
Like a sound from a video that he forgot to mute. Oh, I thought it was muted.
He mutes and logs off.
Yeah, his mistakes are being able to use just the basic technological requirements of accessing this podcast.
Love you, Baldy.
I just got an email notification about a new job posting. Anybody interested in becoming the director of fraud?
So you have to like, is that like committing fraud?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it yet. I'm just like a director of fraud. Like, are they filming a movie about fraud?
Missing a word like fraud.
Prevention would have been a nice thing.
Something tells me that email is from a very trustworthy source. Yeah.
Someone should look into that.
It's indeed. Yeah, so.
Indeed it is.
All right. So, yeah, like I mentioned before, when we talk about, we like to put our foolishness on a pedestal. It's our inspiration. It's what we strive to do. But, you know, sometimes our foolishness just is straight up funny. And that leads to some of our funniest moments that we've had on the pod. Does anybody here have a moment they think didn't make the list that should be mentioned?
Let me think about that for a second.
I like the one where I was giving a very serious breakdown about the fight, a potential fight between Ben Simmons and Jock Vaughn. And my chair made a really loud ass sound that made it sound like I just ripped like a horrendous fart.
Yeah, that's a good one.
On the one. So that's a good moment for me, a shining moment.
It's a beacon of what our podcast stands for.
We're sending into the Smithsonian.
Yes.
We're standing it somewhere.
When the aliens come, I hope it's the first piece of content that they digest.
They'll immediately head to the next planet on their list.
After they digest humankind.
Yeah. They're like, oh man, that wasn't his ass? It's impressive. All right, so here is...
Funniest moments that probably didn't make this list. Probably Avril Lavigne is a clone.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah, listening back, that was one that made me snicker a little bit. Wilt Chamberlain being randomly brought up during a Halliburton praising and turning into Sandy saying that Wilt Chamberlain probably is like irreparably like damaged the gene pool. That's a good one.
He gets a lot of assists.
I don't know if this made the list, but a lot of the Australia stuff from the first couple episodes was
the early stuff, the Jack Jumper bit. Yeah. Sandy somehow saying the Latin name for Jack Jumper Ant like flawlessly. All right. So let's see, everybody. Everybody, listen tight. Let's see, or sit tight. Well, let's see if we can find any of those moments in our funniest moments from this season. The Foolie for Podcast's Funniest Moments. Number 5. Everyone is a Giannis away. Even Giannis. Alright, what do you think, Duke? When watching the Bucks, what are they missing right now? That said, they're on the hottest team in the league right now. So, but what are you thinking so far?
They're missing a second Giannis.
All right, Baldy, who do you want to talk about next?
Lakers.
Lakers. So, what do you think they should add, Baldy?
Giannis.
Yeah, no, I'm with Baldy. They need a Giannis.
Let's go with Charlotte. Everybody loves talking about Charlotte.
Thought you were gonna say the wine cellar.
So what do you think? What do you think they should be asking for Plumlee, Baldy?
Giannis.
So you think they should sell, or do you think they should be buyers at the deadline?
So I think they need to sell Kuzma now while they can, you know, get something for him, or he's just going to walk on a free.
What do you think they should be asking for?
Everything. Giannis. Everything?
Number 4. Baldy watches basketball for the first time for the basketball podcast he attends weekly. All right, and we're back with a hot new segment. Baldy watches something he doesn't understand and probably takes a nap. Baldy, take it away.
So I watched the Heat and Suns game on Monday. Was interesting. So starting out, first off, NBA, you say a game starts at 7:30, it doesn't actually start till like 7:45. Fuck you guys. It's the most annoying thing to like turn it on. You finally find this bootleg stream to turn this shit on, and there's these assholes just going through warm-ups and shit. Like,
Okay. Soccer guy, you can't complain about games starting late when your game
is late. No. Soccer games start on time, like to the second, and it's awesome.
We played for 90 minutes, plus that additional 3 minutes that we randomly somehow.
Oh, no. I got a whole rant about y'all's time here coming up, so don't worry about it.
NBA start times are merely a suggestion.
Yeah. And so coming out of there, so I was watching the warm-ups, obviously. They're coming out of the tunnel. Everybody daps up the security guard, because I don't know, you fucking have to, I guess. Max Strus does not. This will come back to bite him in the ass. Later. Stay tuned. And so Heat won the tip-off, therefore they're going to win the game. Spoiler alert, they did win the game.
That's all that decides in the tip-off.
Number 3. Real basketball mecca is revealed.
I mean, obviously, like, if there's one thing that people consistently say about Atlanta, it's that it's a Hawks town, first, second, third, and fifth.
Absolutely.
They haven't won anything of any import recently in the state of Georgia. Not a single thing.
No, and no other sports. It's definitely
basketball town. Basketball capital of the world. I've heard people refer to Phillips Arena as the Mecca.
Number 2. Duke reviews Paranorman. Or so we believed.
The other folks. So I did catch the first half of the movie Paranorman. And I gotta say, first half, pretty good. Maybe next week I'll catch the second half, and I'll let you know how it ends.
So, wait. Hold on here, guys. How do you do a movie review of a movie you haven't finished? It's not even a review. It's a maybe next week I'll have the rest of it.
The review was pretty good.
The first half of it was pretty good. Maybe I'll see the rest of it by next week and let you know. Duke's movie review. Duke's maybe movie will be watched.
Well, somehow alluding to the fact that he might be housing illegal immigrants.
Number 1. Sandy has a load he needs managed.
So I was gonna ask how far outside of the top 5 Jimmy Butler is for y'all.
Well, he's not played enough games to be in consideration at this point.
Yeah, he's doing the Jimmy Butler. I'm just gonna miss games every now and then for reasons.
It's load management.
Yeah, yeah, I got a load to manage. Look, when your team is,
dear God,
I prefer not.
What the fuck?
Look,
how did that happen?
This guy
is so nonchalant about it too. Just like.
This guy wants to.
What is happening? I don't understand.
Everything will be fine.
This is not a basketball pod anymore.
This guy, James Bootleg, he wants to load manage.
Oh my god, that was some funny moments. I hope everybody here concurs. Obviously, load management, the funniest moment in the history of this podcast, and I don't know if it'll ever be trumped. Mm. Although, I did like how like Sandy says the word thing when doing the mecha bit. Just drops a thang just in the middle of the pod. Like, it's never like I don't remember him ever doing it before, and man, it just like slaps you right across the face with it. I love it.
What?
when you're like Georgia hasn't won a thing.
Oh no, that's Southern accent.
It's okay. It's the way you talk, man. But it just all of a sudden just came out. Like
I tried so hard to hide it. You have no idea. It takes a lot of work.
You don't have to. You don't have to whitewash your accent for us. We're okay with you being yourself, Sandy. It just came out of nowhere. Is the only thing that like kind of like takes me aback. You're like, whoa! Did he just thang us?
Everything will be fine.
Oh man, it's kind of funny sometimes, huh?
Sometimes we try. I feel like this award show, The Foolies, has really demonstrated multiple aspects of fooldom that we try to touch on when discussing the NBA in a very serious and a hard-hitting and analytical manner.
Put the emphasis on the ass and aspect.
Yeah, for sure. And also assalytics. So that's why that's what brings us to our second to last category here, our predictive fools, the Notre Dame's of fools, our worst predictions on the Fool Court podcast. Anybody here have any predictions that they think should have made it, but they know they didn't?
Is Foolstradamus? Is there anything there?
Foolstradamus, yeah.
Foolstradamus.
Maybe. So that's taken.
Fool Cleo. Fulo. I don't know.
Let's just keep trying on Mike, and we'll get there.
Who's Mike?
Yeah. I think we had some pretty good predictions, personally.
I mean, I went back and I listened to our first episode, and we got pretty close to nailing both the Eastern and Western conferences. We were very high on the Raptors. That was a mistake. We believed a little bit too much in the Heat in the regular season. That was also a miss on our part.
I would like to point out that I was the only, I listened to that too. I was the only person who picked the Lakers to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Did you have them in the play-in though? I think we all had them in the play-in.
No, I had them as a playoff team.
Oh, well. Then you were wrong. We all, because they made it through the play-in.
Well, they made it. They made the playoffs, though.
Yeah. Sorry, Sandy. You want to say something?
Semantics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Samantha's. Yeah. Let's relitigate it, or let's just move on.
All right. Worst predictions. The Foolie for the podcast's worst predictions. Number 5. Everyone concurs the Bucks will be champions.
I like the Nuggets, and I think Jokic, the way he's playing right now, he's on cruise control until the playoffs.
Yeah, so then we have Denver versus Bucks.
Milwaukee.
Who we got?
Milwaukee.
It's going to be a great series.
It's Bucks.
Be a good series, I think.
Yeah, it'll be a good series, but I don't think
you the buck stops here.
I think the Bucks just like if the Bucks are remain healthy for the remainder of the playoffs, they have the best roster, better roster between the two, and I think Jokic and Giannis are kind of players.
I'm gonna just say this: Jokic is the MVP. I think Giannis is the best player.
I don't necessarily disagree with that,
and I think if they match up in the finals, he'll show that. I think he would be the difference, and I think it would be, yeah.
All right. So that's that. You heard it here, heard it here first, folks. The full court press is going chalk. Number four, Duke declares that the Pelicans will win the West. Duke, do you have any funny ones?
No, they're all very serious.
All right, you go next then.
All right. The Pelicans will win the West.
That's pretty silly.
No, I'm being serious, man. That's gonna happen.
Oh, okay.
Write it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In pen, number three, Sandy is certain the Lakers will win in six. And then he had a 2020 game when he didn't have Dylan Brooks covering him because he got Dylan Brooks ejected for the nutsack.
I am going Lakers in six.
Love tap.
Oh, really?
You're going Lakers at six. Interesting. So you have the Lakers with their old ass team winning a game in Denver, huh? Number two, Lufa is pretty certain Josh Green is going to be a big part of a big three. Fool's Gold segment. Now, without looking at what he's done today, guys, do you think Josh Green's is the answer to being the third head of the Hydra in Dallas?
Well, I did look at what he's done today already.
Well, don't take it into account.
I'm going to take it into account.
No, you're not allowed. I already declared beforehand, before I introduced the topic, you're not allowed to break the rules.
I haven't.
You go to your room.
I haven't.
He's got
seen
4 points.
You go to your room right now, young man.
Yeah, I haven't looked at what he's done, and I can tell you, no. It's absolutely fool's gold.
Yeah, no, it's no.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm, yeah. He was averaging 20 points a game after the DFS trade. That's what I'm going to refer to.
But Luka was
because I think the DFS was the best player on the team there. No, Luka was there the last game he played, and he got 23 points.
They put up 128. Yeah, he's not no one third of a big three there. Let's come on now.
I think what I really wanted to talk about with regards to Josh Green is one of the big questions with regards to the Kyrie Irving trade was, you know, they lost Spencer Dinwiddie and they lost Dorian Finney-Smith. Dorian Finney-Smith arguably is the linchpin of their entire defensive scheme. Josh Green is providing similar defensive impact and had provided similar defensive impact coming off the bench. So if he's able to provide a little bit more of an offensive uptick from what Dorian Finney-Smith was providing, I think that that does open up a little bit more possibilities for the Dallas Mavericks. And I think that I wanted to give that a shout out because I think that's something we really want to watch moving forward, what his role morphs into now that he's entering in the starting lineup on a regular basis, and the bigger shadow of Dorian Finney-Smith has kind of disappeared. Number one, Lufa insists it's impossible to trade Durant.
Kevin Durant will not be a member of the Brooklyn Nets by the end of this week.
I'm going to cool it. Obviously, with a max contract, 3 days is virtually impossible for an adequate trade to be put together. So it won't make any sense salary wise. I know that some people on here think that a contender would be able to put together a huge package that would blow them off their feet, but a contender would have to blow up their entire team to do it, and they wouldn't be a contender anymore, so it wouldn't make any sense. Kevin Durant would either be dumped off to a team that's rebuilding, or they would dump him off to a team that's in a contention spot, but it will have ruined their team completely, and then Kevin Durant will be in the exact same position. And Kevin Durant's smart enough to know that. He may ask for a trade. The Nets have shown that they don't really care what he thinks, and they'll utilize their leverage, and he'll end up playing when they tell him to play. So that seems pretty obvious.
Or when this happened.
unless you're trading another max player for him, there's going to have to be at least 2 to 3 players getting traded out for him. And then the Nets would have to think that that makes sense for them. Obviously, they don't have the roster space for 2 to 3 players, so they'd have to cut people. You know, also, like, you have to think to yourself, if you're the Nets, like, am I blowing up a team while also paying the tax? Like, they need the playoff revenue to justify even having the roster that they have today. They're not going to be able to dump the salary that would be required. If he gets moved, it would be in the offseason. But right now, there's just no way he gets moved within the next 3 days. Like, it's just not possible. How about this? That's an expiring deal, and then Eaton, who's a redundancy because they have Claxton. So why would they do that trade? there's just no logic to it. I mean, it makes sense from the Suns' perspective,
right. Yeah.
Because obviously they'd be robbing them blind. But yeah, like, I mean, when you're being robbed, it's not something that you would elect to do. So if I had the opportunity to say no to being robbed, I probably would do that. Yeah, it's just a terrible trade offer. It wouldn't happen. So that's why. This is what I'm saying. Like, there's just not a logical trade offer out there for the Nets to move. How about this? And rerouting would require a third team being involved, which obviously adds even more complexity to a three-day trade building that you have to do. So, the reality is, do I think that he would be there? Do I think that Durant gets traded before the end of his contract? I think that's a possibility, and I think it could be quite likely, depending on what happens for the rest of the season. Do I think that it's going to happen before the trade deadline? No, I mean, it's just too close. It's too much work. Is he still going? There's not really anything that will be, like, the Nets are going to be like, yeah, we have to make that trade, as opposed to getting through this season, getting out of cap, finding a way to get themselves off of the Ben Simmons contract, finding a way to get themselves under the luxury tax, so that in the event that they don't make the playoffs the following season, they're not going to be bankrupting their franchise. Like, I mean, like, there's so many different things that you'd have to consider in dumping Kevin Durant. And the thing is the price that you get now, it's going to be the price you get in the offseason. There's not a lot of reason for them to make the move in the next 3 days. There's a lot of reasons not to, though. All right, so that's our foolish predictions. Luckily, I didn't feature in any of those, so I got out pretty scot-free. What were you guys' thoughts on what we heard?
So it was how long after that Durant was traded? Was it 3 days?
I think within 24 hours of us posting the episode.
It was very, very quick, yeah.
Quick turnaround.
I mean, it was because of the Kyrie Irving trade, and the Kyrie Irving trade happened the week before the trade deadline. So I think this was our trade deadline episode that we kind of like did, where I said that
I feel like we did that episode after Kyrie got traded.
We did.
Yeah, that's what I said, but it's okay if you weren't listening. One thing I want to point out about that first one is we specified if the Milwaukee Bucks stay injury free. Unfortunately, they had an injury to their best player. And that was the reason why they ended up losing.
Excuses, man.
It's a valid excuse. Miami Heat were frauds, and the Nuggets proved it at the very end. And that's how the season will be remembered. Fraudulent Heat.
And how did they explain the Celtics?
They were also frauds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sup.
So the Eastern Conference is kind of bad.
The Miami Heat ruined the playoffs. Like, I mean, we don't talk about it enough, but if they just did what they were supposed to do and died in the first round, we would have had an epic Eastern Conference Finals matchup, and we would have had a halfway decent finals. But
if they die in the first round, who makes it to the finals? You think
Milwaukee?
Even though Giannis got hurt.
I think Giannis would have gotten better, and I don't think any team in the East would have been enough for them.
You know what? I think the Sixers beat Gimp Giannis, who's hurting and limping.
But the Sixers would have been playing the Celtics regardless.
sure, but I think the Celtics lose to the Sixers because.
So wait. In this universe where Giannis does it, how does Giannis's injury help the Sixers beat the Celtics?
I think everything changes and everything changes. Based on the butterfly
effect.
Yeah, you ever seen that movie, Ashton Kutcher?
So this is the story I've often told. I had a job and I was working.
Oh, you had a job?
I was working during the Super Bowl where the Patriots, who were 18-0 that year, lost to the Giants. But every other Sunday, I wasn't working and I watched the game. So I bet if I didn't work that night, the Patriots probably won that Super Bowl and go undefeated.
Well, wow. What were you doing when Atlanta blew the 28-3 lead?
I was watching the game.
All right. Well, so that's it.
Okay. Nice diversion.
So that was a dip into our Schwami Fool predictions. Fully Schwami? No. God, we got to find something else. Something here that works. There's got to be
Schwam.
It's got to be a fool based pun that we can use predicting the future. The future.
I think Foolstradamus works.
Foolstradamus? Eh, maybe. It seems a bit forced. So that's obviously one of the elements of the fooldom, but truly this entire podcast was designed to highlight the foolishness of others, the people who inspire us to be the fools that we are. Here is our final category, the Fool of the Year.
Oh.
The Fooly for Fool of the Year. Number 5. Russell Westbrook distracts from LeBron's pep talk. So, moving on, we're gonna award this week's Fool of the Week. Now, Sandy, I know you're very excited about this. Do you want to describe who our Fool of the Week is and why?
No, man, no. I don't think we need to give this award out. Well, let's just have some fun, bros. We don't need to disrespect anybody.
I want you to get greedy, Sandy. Be greedy.
No, man. Let's just have some fun. This is enough fun. We don't need to disrespect anybody with this award. Let's move on. Let's just have fun.
So the LA Lakers are on a 6-game winning streak, and a video leaked of Darvin Ham and LeBron James pep talking the Lakers after they'd won their 6th game, and said, "We want more. Let's get greedy. Come on, let's get greedy." And then Russell Westbrook, in a complete failure to read the room, decided to pipe in, "Let's just have some fun, guys."
Yes, sir.
And the look that LeBron gave him.
He's incredulous.
I felt the heat coming from his eyes.
He's like, "What? Motherfucker, what?"
He's like, yeah, I guess we can have fun too, but let's get greedy. Let's let's not lose the message here. Let's not lose the plot. Russell Westbrook still hasn't learned that he's not allowed to talk in that locker room.
You gotta respect it.
No, you don't.
I mean, I respect it. I respect it. Russ just wants to go out there, man.
Look, man. How many years has Westbrook
been in the league? It's now? The epitome of I come here, man.
How many years has this man been in the league now? Russell Westbrook.
14, 15?
Look, around like year 5 or 6, it's time to stop having fun.
Oh, that's
no, true. You're here to win. And if you're not winning,
very cynical.
Go get the CDL.
I don't think he needs a CDL.
That's a Twitter, man.
He's not going to be a bus driver.
Yeah. If you're not here to win, go do something else. I won't win this.
I mean, if you saw peak Russell Westbrook, I don't think anybody could question his willingness to win.
He knows. He knows where he is.
But LeBron, maybe not.
He's basically temping down expectations for everybody. He's like, "Hey guys, I know we're really excited, but let's be completely honest.
Let's just have fun.
We suck. So let's just have a little fun while we're here. Enjoy ourselves. Let's not get too greedy." You know, don't take anything we don't deserve.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get greedy, but not too greedy.
Yeah, not too greedy. Let's save some for some other people. You know, everyone needs to eat.
Keep having fun, guys. Ball.
And you know what? Let's just, you know, let's go and get those gosh darn Denver Nuggets.
And if I'm open, pass it to me.
You better believe that I'm going to give them Denver Nuggets the business.
You listen here, Buster. Right? I'm going to shoot that three, and if it goes in or not, I'm going to shoot the next one too.
Number 4, ESPN Live proclaims the 12th place Lakers as the Western Conference favorites. The ESPN NBA Countdown show, which talked about whether or not the Lakers, after the trade deadline, were the favorites to win the West with LeBron James and Russell and the other Russell, not the one that they traded, but the other one that they traded for, and Anthony Davis. If that was enough to win the West, and all of them unanimously agreed that the fourth best Californian team, team that's sitting currently just in the play-in at 12th place, would win the West. So I just wanted to, celebrate that kind of foolishness, because it's through them that we are inspired to do the goofy shit that we pull off.
Congratulations on another ring, LeBron. You did it!
Yeah. I don't think LeBron earns this one. This one's all on ESPN. Oh. Yeah, ESPN
did
this
magic.
One. What are you guys' thoughts on ESPN's well-deserved Fool of the Week award?
I mean, it's... I don't know, man. It's goofy.
No.
They don't actually believe
it's that. Not goofy. Goofy was the ring that they won at the bubble. The Mickey Mouse ring.
Goofy is the isn't part of ESPN. He's part of the other portion of Disney.
None of them actually believe that, right?
In Goofy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of them actually believe the Lakers are the biggest threat to the Nuggets.
Who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? Like, people's brains get poisoned when it comes to the LA Lakers. I don't. It's the same thing that we talked about a couple weeks ago when you guys were trying to tell me that the Lakers were going to have all these free agent signings when they don't have any players, when they've consistently shown that they can't do anything successfully. Like, it's the most inept, highly talked about franchise since the Knicks.
You said who the hell knows, and the guy who knows is LeBron James, who we've proven this year can predict the future. He sees everything.
Number 3, remember the Lakers-Celtics game? Basically, to recap, LeBron James went in for a game-winning layup against the Boston Bruins, and Jason Tatum beat him to death in his arm.
Was he playing hockey?
Sorry, the Boston Bruins?
Boston Bruins, yeah. Well, I mean, they were playing. Like, I mean, Jason Tatum might as well have been throwing a body check on him. Yeah. He lays out his arm, gives him a big thwack, and it's clear as day. Clear as day, it's a foul, and it wasn't called. The Darvin Ham uses a challenge to challenge it, and obviously it'll get overturned because it's clear as day a foul. And they reviewed it, and they didn't overturn it. And then LeBron James mimics like he's going to beat the crap out of his assistant coach, and then he freaks out like he's gonna rip out all of his artificial hair, and he crawls to his knees on the ground as if he was begging Jesus for mercy, and then the game obviously comes to an end and they go to overtime, and during commercial break of overtime, Patrick Beverly goes into the media scrum, grabs a camera that had a shot of the of the foul, and goes out to the ref and yells "foul" while showing him the preview screen of the digital photo, submitting to the court photographic evidence that obviously resulted in a technical foul, and the Lakers starting the overtime period down 1 point. They would go on to lose.
No hyperbole. Him going and grabbing a physical camera and shoving it in the ref's face. One of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, I obviously didn't watch the game, right? But I saw photos of it, and I believe I asked Sandy, I'm like, that's a Photoshop, right? Like, obviously, like, that didn't happen. That's the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life.
My response to that question was supplying him with video evidence.
Yeah. I did watch the game, and I completely missed that.
Oh, man.
And checked our chat, and I saw it. I was like, what the
fuck? Like, there's no way that happened, right? Like, how does that happen?
I thought the technical was on LeBron for his just
for his losing his
maniacal behavior.
No, yeah. Pat Beverly is.
I mean, in all fairness, he should have gotten teched for that. Like, I get that he was right that he was fouled. But he should have gotten tech
so look,
for that.
If they admit that they're wrong, should they rescind Pat Beverly's tech? I know it doesn't matter now, but
no. the behavior is what it earns him the technical foul, not the fact that he's disputing.
He's a top tier troll.
Yeah, no, I mean it was a great moment, and I think it's probably going to be one of the lasting moments from this season. It's so memeable. It was such a great moment. Now you mentioned that the refs admitted that they're wrong. After
before
my
we
wife
get to that, before oh, we sorry. Get to that, I have a I've prepared a statement. Is it okay if I read it?
Okay, yes, please.
Okay, let me grab it. Hang on. All right. Like everyone else, podcasters make mistakes. We made one at the end of last week's episode, and that is gut-wrenching for us. This pod will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best podcasters we can be. That's all.
What was the mistake?
That was beautifully said.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
It was obviously facetious. It's obviously facetious. We make no mistakes. We are error-free. We are the tweets. We are the tweets of podcasters.
We're just one big Twitter thread.
It's funny that you read it in such a way, because my wife pointed this out, because everybody's been treating this like it's a very serious statement, like, and they're criticizing the refs. Some people are criticizing the refs, like, what's the point of apologizing? It doesn't do anything for us. And then there's other people who are like, it's great that the refs are taking ownership and blah, 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 blah. But when you go through the actual words, it sounds sarcastic. When they're
It's so weird because, like, you picture, like, this one dude just sitting there, like, sobbing at night. Just like, oh, man, like, I can't get over this.
Like, okay, so it starts off with, like everyone else, refs make mistakes. Like, that's a bitchy sentence, right? Like, I mean, that is like, you know, yeah, like everybody else, bitch, I make mistakes. I'm a fucking human being, all right? You fucking get me? Are we understanding each other right now? Last night, I made a mistake at the end of the game. It's gut-wrenching for me. I'm going to lose sleep over this shit. Yeah. Like, yeah, for sure. I cannot believe this, and I'm going to make sure that I strive to do my best to be the best ref you've ever had. It's not a serious statement made by serious people. Like, this is obviously, they're making fun of the drama that the Lakers put to it, but people are taking it seriously because why wouldn't you? It's from the NBA referee account. Of course you're taking it seriously.
It totally matches LeBron's energy.
Number two, LeBron goes emo. Sandy, what are your thoughts on the Curry injury?
Maybe it's me.
Then he, and then obviously Kyrie Irving trade happened, and LeBron James really was really gung-ho about bringing Kyrie to L.A. When Kyrie got traded to Dallas, he tweeted out the most emo tweet in history of the NBA. Maybe it's me.
What does that even mean?
And then he went to talk to Michael Wilbon. He's like, "Yeah, clearly I was very disappointed that we didn't get Kyrie, but I'm gonna focus on us. I'm gonna focus on myself, and we're gonna build this team and hopefully make a berth to the playoffs." But I love how he's just like, it was definitely like after breakup talk, where it's like, I really need to take some time to focus on myself and focus on what I'm doing. and what I can control.
Such as becoming the all-time leading scorer in the NBA.
Yeah, no, exactly. This is the week in which he's going to be the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, and all he wants to talk about is how Kyrie didn't come to LA.
So, the maniac to me is so confusing because it's like he thinks it's Kyrie's decision. It's like they clearly traded him not there out of spite.
Or maybe he just thinks the Lakers are doing it because they want, like, they wanted to ruin his legacy so he'll never be compared to Kobe. And maybe this is all, like, LeBron's just like, maybe it's about me. They'll never, like, he always assumed that the fans would never accept him as a successor to Kobe, but maybe he thinks that the Lakers are now, like, convinced that they're doing all of these things. They agreed to terrible trades, and now they won't make trades to fix these terrible trades. Because they don't want him to surpass Kobe.
Well,
no matter what the reason is, it was a funny tweet. It's automatically like Mount Rushmore NBA tweets.
Number one, Barkley gives tips on washing clothes on the road. Chuck, Charles Barkley. Who said on TSN's coverage of the NCAA tournament that these young kids, they don't know what it's like when we were playing. We used to have to clean our uniforms by wearing them in the shower and washing them. Kenny the Jet Smith questioned this as a player who played in the same era as Charles Barkley, saying that at no point in time did you have to wear your clothes into the shower to wash them. You would give them to the person who washes your clothes. And then Charles would say, when we played back-to-backs and we had to be on our flights, you were responsible for cleaning your own uniform. And then Kenny said, you don't have to wear it in the shower, though. Why are you doing that? To which Charles then replied, it's just the easiest way of cleaning your clothes.
So,
is to wear them when you go take a shower after a game.
Was Kenny the Jet Smith in the same era as him? He was on the same team as him for a bit. I just wonder if in that locker room, all the players are wrapping up and getting ready to head out of here. He just looks at these sad Charles Barkley in the shower with his jersey on.
With a shower cap.
That is some Alabama ass shit.
Some Alabama swamp ass shit.
I just like if you watch the actual like interaction, it's just so great because he's so innocent and wide-eyed. He's like, what, you guys weren't wearing your clothes into the shower to wash them? He's like, how did you wash them then? And they're like, we put them in the machine. So, like, I don't understand like why this is like such a foreign concept.
Point out something I don't think anyone is wondered aloud. Do you think this has bled into his normal life?
You think he's like taking like $5,000 suits into the shower?
Sometimes he's late night.
Gotta go to a funeral tomorrow.
TNT broadcasts, they go a little late, don't they?
Yeah, and he does back to backs. No, actually, I don't think he does the back.
They have to be dry cleaned, so he'd probably just take the vacuum to it.
No, he uses the hair dryer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that about concludes it for the Foolies. What do you guys think of our Fools of the Year?
That's a no doubter for number one.
Well, you know what? I realize now we missed another great LeBron one from the leftovers of that Boston game when he posts an Instagram photo of of Jason Tatum clearly smacking his hand and he's like, "Nice great block, JT."
Easing into middle age, that man. Just easing in.
Oh God, he's so dramatic.
That's my goat.
Mine's Paul George.
That's the goat.
Oh man, and then like we didn't do the Fool of the Year and stuff like that, but like I mean, another all timer would have been when he's like, "Oh, I think I'm gonna retire" after he got swept by the Nuggets.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Incredible.
Oh man, LeBron James never change. Never change.
What a fun season.
Who was it? Like, everyone was making fun of him because he kept on saying, like, he definitely knew this was going to happen or something like that. And it was...
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just an endless trail of content that LeBron James...
We could have gotten one in here in the last week or so with him and Mike Malone. Sorry, Michael Malone.
Oh, yes.
Put respect on that name.
Well, you know, they don't call Michael Malone Eminem for nothing.
Yes. Do they call him that?
No, I don't. But he's got Michael Malone. I mean, that's two M's. Figured it was given how ridiculously he dressed. How does he go back to his locker room after that?
Oh, man. I mean, he goes back a champion. That's how.
He's like, we're not satisfied with one. We're going to do two. We're going to do three. And I'm just like, oh, no, not this speech again.
He's the man.
He's the Malone.
Give it to him.
So since we're coming to the end of our episode today, Duke, I know you have a little bit prepared. You want to tell us about a TikTok trend that you've been following?
No, I don't.
No, do you have a movie you'd like to review?
I got a movie review.
Yeah.
I saw the movie Elemental in theaters today.
Oh God.
You guys want to hear about it?
Yeah, tell me about it. I've heard nothing but bad things, so I look forward
good.
To it.
It's not that good.
It's not good.
It's a solid middle of the road to down in a ditch.
Yeah.
Movie.
But not, like driving on good. The middle of the road is the most dangerous place you can drive.
It's
But it's a fun place to walk.
I think driving off a cliff is probably worse.
Yeah, it's four out of five dentists don't recommend driving off of a cliff.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Elemental, not great. My kid liked it though; he really liked it. So I don't know.
Pixar's been a little downhill lately, to be
honest.
Maybe
I'm doing something wrong there. So anyway,
yeah. So that was your movie review.
Yep.
All right.
That's it.
So you didn't finish Paranorman?
Oh yeah, no, I did.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want to share your thoughts?
Oh yeah.
That son of a bitch.
He All got right. you with the Sandora. Let's go. Oh, I love it. I didn't even realize what happened.
Well, that'll about do it for the Fool Core Press Podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. Remember, you can always leave us a voicemail at 724-FU-FOOLS, at 724-383-6657. You can also send us a text on that line as well. You can follow us on Twitter at FCourtPress and send topic suggestions to FCP Rundown. I'm joined today by Baldy and... Oh, not Baldy, sorry. I'm joined today by Sandy and Duke. Baldy's out sick. Everybody say goodbye. Screw y'all.
It was pretty good.
Who the hell is Sam?
All right, everybody. Peace out.